Hey Pijuju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chami, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, everybody out there. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And it's quite very important to thank Helmut with the home run. And, it's 6 minutes past the hour of six. It's the 9th of December, 2025. And as I indicated, December, the month of 1 week, is already progressing. It's already progressing. And, we are wrapping up the year. And, we see and we understand many institutions doing their farewell or end year function, what you call it, the party of the end of the year. But make sure that when you do that, you also think about January. So make sure that you also think about January, because it's quite very important. And also there are also those who are traveling, And the point is always that not to lose anybody throughout this festive season, to make sure that we are cautious enough, to make sure that we pay attention to the rules and regulations of using of the roads, either is residents, either is pedestrians, either is drivers, and also passengers too. Because you find somebody, because it's you who has economic power or who have financial power in somebody's car, you also disturbing the driver to say turn this way, turn that way. But at the end of the day, it will not turn out the right way. That's why our advice is always to say, let us enjoy, but also let us be careful, because at the end of the day, December is not the end of everything, but it's a season or it's a month that we can use to rest and also to relax. And the conversation for today, we're going to speak about food security. To speak about food security, as much as we speak about business, as much as we speak about education, as much as we speak about the pronunciation of education free and equitable and accessible education, as is stated as by United Nations Sustainable Development Goal number 4, and also as is not only politically communicated by the president, but we have seen practical implementation, and it's very clear. So we say, apart from speaking about education, there is an aspect of food where Namibia and also Africa is aiming to be self-sustaining, not only to produce food for the sake of production, but also producing food for the self, and also production of food that you can also be able to sell. That's why in a few minutes time, or in 10 minutes time, I'll be in the conversation with one of the farmers, and also somebody who has been in the field of horticulture, just to look at how prepared are we. Is farming, is cultivating, is plowing, is sowing of crops part of your plan this December? Just think about it. Or just one of the plans. Is it part of your priorities? Attending somebody's wedding is a priority. Attending somebody's birthday or somebody's, organized party. But is production of food, sustainable food production, part of your plan? Are you in aligning with your national developmental plan? That's why we are also going to touch on that, especially when I'm going to speak with, Mr. Josiah Shipingana, and especially when we speak about how ready, how prepared are we when it comes to, food security, and also the readiness of, the people. Yeah, before we go to that conversation that will be dominating our presentation today, It's quite very important to look at what is happening around the world. And also to look at, we are not going far. We are going to Democratic Republic of Congo. It has been stated that, you know, sons of the soil, that is Paul Kagame, and also Félix Tshisekedi, or Félix Tshisekedi, that is president of DRC. They spend, you know, around 3 days there in the United States of America. One of the points was regarding peace and security, or at the center of that is peace and security, particularly between Rwanda and also Democratic Republic of Congo, is a case regarding M23. However, just yesterday, addressing Parliament, Congolese President Félix Tshisekedi accused Rwanda for breaking ceasefire deal just 1 day after it was signed, and stated that, you know, M23 and also other armed groups are vying for control of mineral-rich Eastern DRC near the border with Rwanda. The most prominent rebel group, M23, is stated that it's backed by Kigali. And at this point, it's not even a matter of arguing to say who is backing who, because if negotiations of M23 are entered into by that of head of state, you'll be able to realize that, you know, when it comes to peace and security there in DRC, it's deteriorating. It's deteriorating, and you're also asking to say, how is this going to end, and does it have a long-term impact to Africa, and also, most importantly, to Southern Africa? Because if you just do your own observation, you know, in most cases, when you look at countries trading with one another, it's commonalities in terms of language and also shared maybe historical background. But just go to Osiri, go to any town that you find somebody from DRC, just ask nicely and politely, and ask to say, what are you doing here, and also what were some of the pushing factor. You'll be able to realize that war is at the center of that. That's why people are looking for better opportunities, because war destroy opportunities, war destroy homes, and not only homes and opportunities, but also destroy the human being himself, and also you know, when it comes to long-term secured and also peaceful life. That is why the sons and daughters of Africa are running away. And when you look at Commission on Immigration, you'll be able to realize that Africans are not leaving Africa in hundred, not in thousand, but in millions. If you look at the statistics, especially those who are closing to the UK, closing to EU, those who are closing to the Middle East, to Oman, to Dubai there, and also Qatar, looking for opportunities and also running away from troubles at home. And it's quite something to look at, and also to see what are those who are studying peace and security doing to make sure that Africa become a country, a continent, and also toward becoming one continent that is united, fully integrated. And also, when you speak about the Africa, that what you want is one Africa, one economy, one army, and also one currency, one central bank, and Africa that is serving its people, and also Africa that is globally competitive. And looking at that, it's also stated that according to United Nations experts, the rebels group, that is M23, supported by 4,000 troops from neighboring Rwanda. That is according to UN expert. And to see how is the situation of DRC going to end, particularly looking at this point in time. Yeah, apart from that, I think it's also quite very important also to come back at home, and also to look at how things are happening, how things are going at home, and also particularly when it comes to education, to say it's no more political communication, it's what it is, and let us wait for 2026 to see how can I can be able, as a first year, to university, to tertiary institution, to vocational training center, be able to attend free tertiary education, subsidized 100% by the government. Yeah, and before we come to the conversation for today, it's just also a point to look at, especially those who are studying law, particularly criminal law, and also those who are studying law, especially with interest of becoming a prosecutor, and also with interest of serving justice. You must be able to draw your eyes away from Madlanga Commission and also South African Ad Hoc Committee, and you'll be able to see more, particularly the case study of Julius Mkwananzi there. Be able to realize that the South African system, there are two Mkwananzis who are playing a role. We have Dranda Mkwananzi, that is the commissioner for KZN. Then you also have Julius Mkwananzi. It is a very interesting character to look at, but also to see how professionals in the legal fraternity are using their skills to be able to ask questions and also seek justice, not only to find a guiltiness in a person, but also fairness to say you are guilty. But it doesn't mean that when you are guilty, it means that everything that you have done is wrong. That's why even if the highest criminal on land has to be afforded opportunity to speak and also to be protected, and that is the beauty of law. But yeah, we are going to a short commercial break. Then from there, I will be in the conversation with Mr. Jesaja Shibingana, who I'll be in communication with, especially regarding food security, and also the readiness of farmers in Namibia to say, are you ready? Are you ready as a farmer? Are you ready? What are some of the preparedness mechanisms, tactics, and strategies that you put in place? Are you ready in terms of the seeds? Are you ready in terms of the animals? Because it's not only about growing crops, it's also about taking care of animals, and also vice versa. But we are going to look at that question, and also to see what needs to be done, especially when we speak about food security. Because just put it this way, especially as young people and also young adults, so when you go to any part of the country, particularly part of the country that we call home, you'll be able to realize that farming is not really at the center of the trip. It's about meeting people, dancing, eating, forgetting that what you eat was made by a farmer somewhere in maybe KZN, somewhere maybe in Free State. But that is something that you need to make sure that you also produce on your own, and support your food system, and also keep the money circulating within the country, and Namibia end up not to continue being in a crisis in terms of food security, and not being able to continue be given food, even coming from outside seas. And you're also asking to say, are this pure organic food, or we are just getting for the sake of getting, and what are this food going to do into our body? And also, how can we make sure that we produce the real deal, real food, either is crops, products, or either is animals. So let us look at this short commercial break, then we can get into the conversation with Tate Sash Pingana, and to indicate on the preparedness and the readiness of farmers in Namibia.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put with my dream, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are continuing with business and economic segment. As I indicated, I'm in contact with Tate Josiah Shipingana, especially to speak about the readiness of farmers in Namibia, especially when you look at this season. Tate Shipingana, good evening, and how are you doing?
Good evening, Mr. Shombe, and the entire management of Eagle FM and the listeners out there.
Yes, let us speak about the area that you are passionate about. And we know you as a farmer and also somebody who is in that field, either through consultancy and many other areas. Let us look at, from your perspective, particularly as we are standing now, looking at the context of rainfall in the northern part of Namibia and many other parts of Namibia, how ready are the farmers in Namibia from your perspective?
Yeah, the question is not worrisome, it's also worrisome, but not to divert your question, but I want us to look at the context of the national white.
Okay.
As we dive in, but as for now, let me dive in already.
Yeah.
In terms of preparedness of the farmer in Namibia generally, although haven't been in all corners of this country, being now in the area of horticulture itself or just in general agriculture or farming, so to say, let me be specific as to your question, the northern regions where I'm currently more available. I'm a little bit, sheltered in producing what I'm producing and, engaging farmers and engaging leadership at different levels. So that we can then go in the conversation on how or what are we talking about.
Mm.
If we are talking about the readiness of the farmer in Namibia generally, but specifically like you out. You figure out the northern region is to say, currently, not only today, as we brought up the program, and you called me at the right time, not only probably because of the rainfall season, probably because, I had been there.
Okay.
All I'm saying that within the northern region is that there were constituencies where I went. To engage.
Okay.
And particularly and specifically to ask the same question. Because this is also a worrisome, like I said, it's a worrisome and also a worrisome. There are some constituencies because, I'm in almost that region currently.
Okay.
But there are some constituencies where I went. I wasn't to be specific. But I went there specific. The idea is to get information and also to direct, as we are diving in this type of conversation, to say, how are we going to do this, or are we going to continue like this? The preparedness of the farmer is a general thing.
Yeah.
One can say, yes, we are prepared. One can also say, no, we are not prepared. How are we going to, how are we going to get that? It's looking at farmer at the different level and how you are engaging them. And also to go to the Ministry of Agriculture itself.
Yeah.
At a constituency level, at a regional level. At a constituency level, where I am, I cannot, I will not tell you which constituency.
Yeah, yeah.
The people, it seems like the office of the, of the agriculture or the Ministry of Agriculture is not ready. Because my calling was already to say, can we then avail the seed in terms of what farmers need? Can we avail then probably the list in terms of registration to say how many farmers are going to be in need in terms of plowing? When we saw plowing, I don't know what generation, we are referring to tailing, for example. So, now, what we are lacking, because I'm not going to say who, I'm going to say we, I'm talking in the context of Namibians. What we are lacking is that we are more of team and less of implementation. And in general, I should say, the farmers, sometimes they are ready, but the thought that the farmer would need, that farm might need, might not be available at the right time, at the right place, to the right people, at the same time, for that reason. And by so doing, one might say, we are not ready, although at the farm side, people might be ready. If you can say they are ready, because what they are ready for is not available at their state.
Now, that is Vingana, looking at the past years, how has been the response of the Ministry of Agriculture toward farmers? Okay, let's speak about the northern part of Namibia that you are in. How has been the response? Where has the office been responsive? And how has been the coordination between the Ministry of Agriculture, the regional offices, councillors, and farmers at large? What is that, the relationship have been?
I might not put it well, but I want to talk about this year. Because this year, I've done a research and I have done, I've gone deeper or beyond to do my findings and also to say, to direct, because like I said, I consulted. Leaders at a different level, being at the traditional leader, political, and so on.
It's
a collective. I have done that. And I have done a conclusion that one may not answer the question to say they are ready and they are not ready. But as for me, I took more of 55% that farmers are not ready, because whether they are 45% ready, what they are ready for is not available at their stage. I'm talking about tractors. I'm talking about seed. I'm talking about fertilizer. I'm talking about compost. I'm talking about inorganic or organic.
You
know?
Okay. Let's look at those who are charged with the responsibilities of. I want us to go there. Can you come back to the relationship, how it has been, and how do you want it to be like? Because we can't speak only about farmers alone, but we also need to speak about those who have authority, like seeds and tractors. How do you think things should be done to accelerate the motions of ploughing and also, you know, sowing of crops and preparing for the season of cultivation?
The what has been happening previously is that government brings a site, the region on its own, apart from government's perspective, bring their site. I'm talking about individuals who got tractors, have been involved, have been incorporated, to ensure that at least farmers got assisted at the right time. But apart from the right time, then government in the past has also increased the number of tractors.
You
find that in a region, or not in the region, but maybe probably in a constituency, you find that maybe you got four or five government tractors. But then, let's look at the number, for example, of farmers that are willing to plow. because there has been an issue of drought.
Yeah.
That brought the confusion about in terms of farming,
mm-hmm.
in terms of plowing, because we are more of subsistence farming. In other words, we are seasonal.
Indeed, indeed.
You understand? So now there has been a confusion since the drought came about, and the people were now like, maybe it will not rain.
Yeah.
This year, because it has been behaving the same way.
Yeah.
Or maybe to rain. So there's a confusion.
Hmm.
But as for me, to answer this question, you say, whether there's a confusion, nobody got an exact answer to say, although we have got what you call meteorological service or something, where we got the weather and so on, or something, who is updating us. Because these are probabilities.
Okay. Now, Tajibengana, I want us to look into the field. You are an expert. I call you an expert based on the work that you do. You are an expert in agriculture sector, particularly crop farming and other areas. I want you to point out 3 to 4 mistakes, especially farmers. What are some of the key mistakes that farmers do, particularly this time of the year? When it's December, when it's raining, what are some of the mistakes that they do in their field that will affect the yield?
Yeah, there are a number of mistakes or factors to be considered. Now, these are general things.
Okay.
Now, some of the farmers are living in a modern, in the old fashion, whereby we have got ways of taking the manure, for instance, directly from the crop.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about fresh crop manure. But it's been taken, and it has been happening. I can also take you back to the question to say what previously.
Yeah.
It's been taking place where farmers are collecting manures from their crop and spread it around in their field. The idea is to apply the manure in the mind that they will be able to increase the productivity or yield the output for the reason.
So is that wrong?
Yeah, it's not that wrong.
Is the timing what?
I want to pattern it with the issue of confusion where I just came to say previously the rain is not behaving the same way compared to the past.
Okay.
Or in comparison with the past.
Okay.
Now, if the dangerousness of that is that if you apply a lot of manure at one place, and you happen to receive insufficient or inadequate, for example,
rainfall. Yeah.
It will then means because in the manure, what happened in the manure, you've got ammonium and you've got nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both ammonia and nitrogen and burn. Now, ammonium, whether it's a fertilizer, whether it's in a gas, it burns.
It does what?
So, it burns.
It burns the
crop.
Oh.
Yeah. So that you can say cereal, for example, if you like, if you love.
Okay,
but
okay.
What it would mean is that to say, if you apply minimal then what you think could be come to rescue in terms of yield might help you. But if you apply wrongly or a lot, if you apply a lot at once or in one place, that's what would happen. Because then the content of ammonium and nitrogen is quite high, and that's going to destroy the crops if rain could not come to rescue.
So it's
if it rained like it rained last year, there is no problem. In other words, I'm trying to simplify something here to say when you got a lot of manure and you got less water, it's dangerous. But when you got a lot of manure and also a lot of water, it's not a problem. So scientific proven is that to say we are living in a modern way of agriculture where it's been called rudimentary sub-mental talent. In other words, in terms of technological capability in terms of agriculture, we are still behind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, apart from wrong reapplication of manure in the field, what other challenges, because we are still going to come to the solutions and the better way of doing things, what other challenges do farmers do, especially in the field during this time while they are preparing for, you know, sowing and also, you know, cultivation season ahead of us?
Yeah, one wrong thing is to say we do not practice what we call intercropping, for example.
Can you expand that?
Diversification, crop diversification. To say you do mixed cropping, for example, if I have to simplify it.
Mm.
Intercropping, whereby, for example, you have got your legume plants, including now the groundnuts, lucerne, if you have to plant out fields.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk of the legume plants, we are referring to plants that are capable of supplying much needed nitrogen to the soil, enabling plants to make use of sunlight as energy to make their own food. And that will take you to the process of photosynthesis.
Mm-hmm.
And that, we are not doing it because we only say mahangu, 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 and so on. And that's a danger. And then another danger.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see you got a question. Another danger.
No, you have enough time. You can expand.
Yeah. Another danger part of that is that when you are not doing crop rotation, for example, in a way, you are also depleting your soil. Because there are some strong plants that are taking much from the soil and not providing. In other words, you are more of taking than restoring. And yet you want to talk about sustainable agriculture enabling to cater, for example, or compromising for the future. How are you going to do that?
Yeah.
You are not rotating.
Yeah. Now, while you are at rotation, you mentioned a very important point, because there was a time I was talking to my grandmother and I brought her this idea of crop rotation. You know, when you are coming from school and you're in agriculture, and she said, it will not happen in my field. Was that part of education traditionally known in the system of growing our crops? Because when you bring about that idea, even the idea of when you are plowing, the lines should change, not only facing one direction. It's not really emphasized. Was that idea really well sold to our subsistence farmers?
It was 100%, but then it took to our mind the narrative that people understand that since maize and mahangu considered staple food, we must also mention these things. Then they think that no, this is the only way to go. But irregardless, they are practicing to say direction wise, as you say.
Yeah.
Like being fallow, for example, you know, when you make furrows, you know?
Yeah.
We talk of, for example, I mentioned earlier tiling.
Yeah.
Then we talk of, for example, soil erosion, for example.
Yeah.
The danger is to say once you change maybe from north to east, north, east to what, it's also, you're also minimizing the risk of soil erosion, because wind blow in any direction, and then at the same time, you explain that rain sometimes rain, but then the water run. In other words, this is geography now. I'm not quite sure.
Okay. Now let's go to the, because let's go to the third challenge. Then we look at the solutions. Then I also want you to touch, because farming, especially seasonal farming, require high level or understanding of timing, because now it's December. We want to party. The grandmother is calling us in the morning to go into the field, and there is a bit of confusion. We are going to speak about that, but let us look at the other third, challenges that, or other third mistake that farmers do, particularly those who are in the crop farming, before, we look at that, cultivation season. What is the other mistake that we do?
The other mistake that we are doing is that we are more of fearing we got more fear to say, no, maybe if I plant early, it will not rain.
Mm-hmm.
And then my plant will wilt off. Mm-hmm. Then we put another fear to say, if I plant late, that's why I said it's a confusion.
Mm-hmm.
If we plant late, maybe, you know, I'll be behind.
Yeah.
So now that confusion, I think I must leave it to some expert to say, how are we going to deal with that confusion?
Yeah.
But let me give you a biblical word that I had heard of to say, there were supposed to be 7 years of good rain and 7 years of bad rain.
Yeah.
Now, even those who have read that verse, they are not coming to rescue us. They also need to come in. That's why, this is not a blaming game, but it's actually way forward to seek for solutions as a nation.
Okay, are you saying it's good to take a risk because weather can be unpredictable? It's good to take a risk and see what will happen and how you can go through.
Probably look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not you, David, but a farmer, for example.
Yeah, I'm a farmer.
I'm referring to subsistence farming.
I'm a farmer also. Okay.
Yeah, I'm referring to subsistence farming, for example. Thank you that you're a farmer.
Yeah.
What you are saying is that probably last year, you plow a little bit late.
Yeah.
And it turned out that rain has been consistent. You understand?
Mm.
So maybe this year, you turn out to say, let me change the method of plowing late. Let me plow a little bit early. And that's why we are saying the readiness of the farm is also determined to the what they need to apply.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have a stake as farmers, then they come inside. It's also not how do I put it? I'm talking about fertilizer.
Yeah.
I'm talking about seed.
Yeah.
I'm talking about tractor. If currently in your region you don't know how many farmers are going to plant, and remember, every year, the number you had last year can go up or can decline.
Yeah.
It's a prediction. It's not something really, but the readiness must be there.
Mm-hmm.
Preparation.
Tarispingana, I want you to give us insight, especially when it comes to new seeds, because there is always new seeds coming into the system, or maybe advice, especially to farmers, to say, looking at as a seasonal farmer and also somebody who studied that field very well, looking at the current season, what is your best advice to especially new farmers at a subsistence level to say, what seeds can I use if I want to grow mahangu? Which one can survive? And also, what is new into the markets of seeds in our crop production? And also, maybe you have a new plant that you can also plant with when you are cultivating, if there are new development in that area.
Yeah, the question is a little bit challenging, but my advice here is just to say, we need to start intercropping.
Okay.
That is the case because, like I alluded earlier to say, when you're intercropping, it's not only to provide the nitrogen needed, like I mentioned, but the idea is also to say there are some crops that are coming also to rescue those that are likely to be victim, being insect, and so on, the challenges that are coming. In farming, let's say, for example, like the locust and so on. So if you know something that the locust does not like, you can incorporate it. But in as much as you are cooperating, you should also look at the danger, because these are advantages and disadvantages. If I do this, so we are only giving you option.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of decision, should come from an individual.
Okay.
To say, what I'm going for. Mm. Because if you say, maybe where I'm putting beans, let me put chili, for example. Mm. You can do that.
Mm.
As long as you know why are you doing that.
Mm.
So that's the intercropping. I mentioned the beans, I mentioned about the groundnut.
Yeah.
Now I'm mentioning about other crops, you say. Because look, for example, beans are providing hydrogen as well as the groundnut. But
okay.
The idea also to incorporate this bean with the mahangu.
Yeah.
I know there were some old men who would say, no, this is dangerous. Because, you know, when you plant, when there are too much congested beans among the mahangu, they will climb, and as they climb, they are overtaking and overcoming they might have to withstand, you know, for example, like wind and so on, then it's coming down.
Okay.
But then it's going to affect the, but what we need to do, they should not be congested. Yeah, in other words, don't put too much. Just put the minimal.
Okay.
Because the bins need to climb.
Yeah.
And in return, they also provide, or they also provide nitrogen to the mahang.
Okay. Now I want you to get into, there's this thing which I've been really trying to ask, especially looking at the economy of Namibia where we are now. You find out I am cultivating crops just for the sake of cultivating, not people to laugh at me. Let me give you an example to say you have, for example, 4 hectares of land. Then in that 4 hectares, you are using 2,000 to prepare to plow the land. Then buying of seeds and putting everything together, you find yourself at 1,000 or 1.5. Then you come also to cultivating and also when it's coming also to harvesting and also preparing of those seeds. But you realize to say, I put much effort, more money into that, but the yield which is coming out is only maybe worth of 1,000. What do you think about that, especially making a loss consecutively, because some people will just prepare the land for the sake of preparing it. But what do you think about that, especially in this economy? What should a person do, particularly those who don't get anything from that? Should I just save my money and buy food from ShopRite, or should I try other crops?
No, that's a very, very good question. And worrisome to say, you know, you're actually taking us back to what we call financial cost effective, whereby you do not want your input to exceed the output. Now, a well-informed farmer, a well-equipped farmer, that's why we are saying we need to bring in program where people are being engaged at the right platform, at the right place, the right person, so that we have what we call a know-how and a better understanding. Not only to plan for the sake of plan, because you need food security and all other things, but also to say, do we understand when it comes to cost effective? Or are we only doing to cater for the household need for food security, because the president, because the minister, because the internet is talking about it? So all these things would then need timing where probably farm association or union need to look at in this home, so that we have got other means, like the Namibia Agronomic Board, the ministry itself, which is Ministry of Agriculture. They have got what you call the program where they got to subsidy, where they got to extension farms. One of the best setup that I have seen is in Amaheke, whereby each agriculture extension officer is assigned to a specific job to do. I know we have got job description, we have got job specification, we have got job enlargement, we have got job enrichment, but this comes with job specification. Job switching, only the two. What is expected from you and how?
Okay.
If you are there to figure out who are the farmer that are only going to produce to become certified seed producer, for example, then you are there. That is as a region, and the region is the constituency also falling under the region. There is nothing that can prevent that. So we have got what we call agricultural extension farm, extension officer. But somewhere, somehow, when you do a comparison, I have outlined, and I thank Mr. Nganate, because I was there, and we sat around the table and see exactly what happened. That was in Ovinyuru.
Amaheke.
Yeah, and the doctor who was heading the Ministry of Agriculture, I forgot his name.
Okay.
But I'm still taking my case for him.
Okay.
Because he's the one who was heading. So now, in that Ovinyuru, where farmers come together and what, you can see the setup is clearly. This one is for seed certified. In other words, you have got only farmers who are producing to ensure there is sufficient and the quality seed for the next season.
So you have those who are producing for seed and those who are producing for consumption.
Yes. Because as a farmer, if you are meant, or if you want, and that also drive us or taking us to social economic, because that is how we bring about. How we promote social economic.
Yes, because of time, just the message you have to, you know, it's December, and us going to the field, especially the young people, is quite very difficult. But what is the message you have to Namibian people? Because the president has communicated, everybody understands that we are still importing more of the food from outside, and we need to do more to be on our own. What message do you have to farmers, to young people, and especially those who are at the festive season, but there is a field out there that need to be worked on? What message do you have to them?
I always direct your question, but it's a good question, but I do not want to centralize your question to youth or whatever, but to every Namibian.
Yeah.
Who want to ensure all of us as Namibians, from the background to the continent as Africa, we have good food.
Yeah.
Because remember, the nation, which is the governing body, has put up components that are guiding us on a daily basis as we are going to produce food.
Yeah.
But with that being said, for us to achieve food security, for us to bring social economic about, we should then revise what is not working. In other words, if you've got players that are not working, we can revise them. Mm-hmm. If you've got plans that are not working, we have to bring in what we call a collective action. In other words, not to changing the entire plan, but to change or to adjust. You understand?
Yeah.
Where you are failing, to say, how are we failing?
Yeah.
I'm missing the way here because I'm talking within a little context. In as much as we preach about food security without an action, but mobilization, platform where people need to be brought about or be gathered in one place so that they are so that they are well informed, so that they are well enhanced. And then they know how, because it will not help us having people that are not well informed, people that are not well equipped, but building for that matter. So at the end of the day, even if you are supporting or whatever resources you are putting resources at wastage. You are putting the nation at risk.
Yes. Dr. Chipingana, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for your input. And thank you for being with us at the Business and Economic segment.
Always, man.
All right, thank you. Serge Pingana is a well-known farmer and passionate about food security. And you'll be able to see that he is well advanced, particularly in terms of food production. And also to say, when it comes to mistake that farmers do, one of the things is that when you are applying the Wushosho, do not put everything in one area. And also make sure that you understand the issue of intercropping and also rotational cropping. And that is the only way that we are going to be on our own in terms of food security. And the other thing is also cost effective. Look at other people and also see that your input should not be more than the output, because at the end of the day, you are gambling. That money, you should have used them to do something. You should have at least look at what soil do you have and what is that suitable within the soil, because your neighbor is growing maize at high yield. Now you are also aiming to get maize. Look at the test your soil and also look for experts and also see that seasonal farming, especially crop farming, is it's a gambling, but because you do not really know how the rain is going to be. But to say whether there is going to be enough or no rain, let us make sure that we go into the field and produce our own food. And the other thing that we have taken is the issue of preparedness and also collaboration, to say you can't do it alone. And for quite some times, especially the private people, those who have tractors, because nowadays
in the world of advancement, you cannot really, although there are those who are using donkeys to plow and also cultivate at some point. Now people are using tractors, and you have those private ones, and also you have state tractors that are being distributed around constituencies. That's to say, coordination, seed and preparedness matters, especially at this point in time. And to make sure that cultivation, not only to take content, but working in the field must be part of the priorities, because we are removing one of burden from the government when we are producing our own crops. But what matters at the center of that is information. You'll be able to realize that in terms of agriculture, you can't just now wake up and you cannot just wake up and go to the field and start planting or start sowing crops. You need to make sure that you have high level of knowledge. You need to understand how things are working and learn from the experts too. You understand the weather, you understand the environment, and you understand the seeds, and you know your tools that we are using to say, what tools do I have, and also what capacity do I have, and be economic and calculative about the resources you are using. So, dear listeners, while we have around 3 minutes before we give the platform to Mtumwa team, you can still engage us in the studio. You can call us in the studio, ask your question, give your contribution at 083-288-401-083-288-401. When Mekuru say pendukeni, pendukeni, make sure that you go and assist, because the aim is not to punish you or not to make you work hard, but it's also to make sure that when you go back to where you have been throughout the year, at least you leave something at home. Good evening.
Hello. David.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. Good, good.
Yeah.
Ready for farming activity.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, no. According to, I'm a data scientist. According to what I hear today,
yeah,
it was make me happy to continue doing that.
Okay, okay.
On Kundana Dingi.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a processing guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he share important information.
Yeah.
Unless the people are not picking it up so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's on the look of things, Namibians are participating on farming activity, but they are not depending on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is where the problem is. People are putting in thousands of dollars into plowing their land, but the harvest is not that enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for them to sustain themselves, than to depending on the importing the processing food.
It's just for formality.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the way he share information of grand nuts that he is processing.
Mm-hmm.
He even indicated that if you could be taken up maybe two hectare or something like that, you were making about 60,000 or 70,000 from them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good news to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 70,000, it can sustain those people that is depending on the senior grade. Yeah?
Social grade.
Yeah, social grains. But if you look at the 70,000 that you are getting out of, and those people, they have 3 or 5 hectares in hand.
Yeah.
So they could be follow it up and convincing their owner of the land to say, no, let us now, because since there is people that is needing a ground nut, so let us take up 1 or 2 hectares to do that and monitor it. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. Then, because you're always calling at the last minute, then you are going to conclude. 1 minute. Just hold on.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the Basic Mental Health First Aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Yeah, just conclusion.
Yeah, okay, just to say, young people, they should follow. Young people, they should be follow up with this great news for them to starting making up money, because this is a lucrative business if you look at it. How many people are maybe needing those type of fruits? Out there that is not even coming to the radio to telling us that, because he indicated that they are not even on the level of saying don't import in grade nut yet, because the market is still bigger, but for them, the capacity of buying more, no matter they are needing those grain net, but maybe next time we'll share more. But
okay,
most of the data that we are collecting and
okay,
we are expecting to share with people.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ne.
You're welcome.
All right, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economics segment, and leave you in the good hands of Mtuma team. That is Uncle Fly, and also Kapate Katoka from me, David Shombe. Bye-bye for now.